people who love them.
Hello, welcome. We're out here at the Italian Car Day in Atlanta 2019. Ben and
Mickey.
And there are all kinds of really beautiful Italian cars to see, and we're going to speak with some people. Mickey, off the top of your head, what's caught your eye so far?
Oh, man, there's a number of things that have caught my eye so far. One is that Fiat X19 over there. I just keep going back to that for some reason. I'm completely and totally a child of the 80s, and that just brings back some excellent memories. Surprisingly enough, that Lancia that your friends have over here, we need to go talk to them. It's just beautiful. It's just a really nice-looking car.
Isn't it, though?
It's just beautiful. And there's a few other things that I'm sure we'll wander across in the next few minutes here, but there's a lot of eye candy at this event.
There sure is. Okay, what is your name, sir?
Dan Quaterone.
And what is your car?
A 1968 Lancia Fulvia Rally 1.3.
It's really beautiful. Because this is audio and people can't see it, this color is really spectacular. Does this color have an equally spectacular name?
Mendoza Blue.
Mendoza Blue, I like that.
Or Blue Mendoza, depending upon where you read it.
Right. That's a good-looking engine, too. What is it?
It's a 1.3-liter V4. It's tilted at 45 degrees, and it's only a 12-degree V4. It's a front-wheel drive car, so the transmission's on the other side with a front transaxle to give left-right weight distribution. Very unusual.
Nice, and it looks like it's probably pretty comfortable to just tool around in, right?
It's extremely comfortable. Great suspension. They were used as rally cars as well, so it handles the bumps really well, and it's not a fast accelerating car, but it gets up to speed and moves really good.
Nice. And where did you find it?
Brescia, Italy.
Very cool. So you had it brought over?
Yep. Yes, we bought it in Italy through an agent that we had over there to help negotiate in Italian. And had the seat covers fixed and the clutch replaced in Italy, then brought it over.
Very, very nice. It is just, wow, it's a spectacularly beautiful car.
Thank you.
So here I am standing with Jim Daniel. Jim, what is this that we're looking at?
1982 Fiat X19.
How long have you had the car? I mean, it's. I'm having this weird visceral reaction to it being a child of the 80s. I look at it and I have this sense of longing. I have this memory thing that's happening. And how are you the original owner?
No, I'm not. I've had it a little over 10 years. Could be closer to 15. You kind of lose track. You do. Every time I take it out, I have somebody run up to me and tell me how, hey, I had one of those in high school, or I knew somebody that used to have one of those. And
you just don't see them that much anymore.
No. A lot of them have gone back to the more organic state. Now, there are a lot around here, but they just don't come out to play as often as I'd like.
When you say organic state, that means?
That means rust.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I figured, kind of putting it a little politely.
So what can you tell us about this car? It's in fantastic condition. Is this the original color?
It's close to the original color. I used to have a X19 years ago in 86, and I sold it getting out of the military, and I wanted another one. Wouldn't stop bugging the wife, and finally she gave me the green light. And I bought this one with my heart, which is the worst possible way you could buy a car. I should have ran from it. I drove it home from Florida, and I had, in the rain, I had my hand out of the windshield to hold the windshield trim on because it was flying off.
So you've done some.
It was in poor shape. And then it went through the hailstorm back in the. A few years ago, and it knocked paint off the car. So we took it down to absolute bare metal.
Sure.
There was 14 coats of paint on the rear trunk lid alone. It looked like I was cutting into a pine tree.
Oh my goodness!
So I took it all the way back down to base metal and painted it with Deltron. And it's slowly but surely, it's a labor of love.
Would you call it a continuing work in progress?
Absolutely. Anything that you drive actively is always going to be a work in progress.
What's next on your to-do list here?
you could be the first. Well, I need to get my exhaust hanger hung back up. It's there was something rattling this morning, and I decided to get down and figure out what it was. And I said, oh, boy, that's my next project. I've been working on the Saratoga top. They're like unicorn horns, if you see the plexiglass top.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, actually. Is that an aftermarket feature?
It is. Okay. They only made them just a few years in the 70s, and they're extremely rare. Mm-hmm. I got that one as a basket case. People had drilled holes to the top of it and put bolts in to hold the thing together.
Oh, man.
And so I had to strip everything off.
Sure.
Find the proper material to fill those holes up so you couldn't see them. And it's still got a lot of work to go, but it's a lot closer. I just wanted to bring it out to the show to see how it appeared.
Do you get to drive it often?
Not as often as I'd like. If it's raining out, I don't bring it out.
I don't blame you.
That and work gets in the way. Work gets in the way of a lot of fun.
Yes, I completely understand that. It is just phenomenally beautiful. Can you tell us about the engine? Should we walk around back and take a look at that?
Those aren't the stock wheels.
That was my next question.
Well, the engine is just a stock 1.5 liter single overhead cam fuel injected engine. 75 horsepower when it was new, so I'm not sure how many ponies have left the stable in the years since I've had it. It's just not very powerful. It's not. But it's a very comfortable car to drive.
Yeah.
It's a fun car to drive, even at low speeds.
Yeah.
It's just a pleasure to drive, which is why I've tried to always have one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did look like a ton of fun, and I'm very, very jealous, actually.
Well, as long as when I get so old that I can't physically get out of it, then I'll think about trading into something else. But right now, it's like an old age litmus test.
Sure. Yeah. You said these were not stock wheels, but I like what you've done because it's just changed the stance of the car a little bit.
Now, can you tell those are period correct, but they're not aftermarket? Can you tell what they came off of?
Bertone Touring. It looks familiar, but I'm going to draw a blank.
It comes off a Maserati Biturbo.
Nice.
Yep.
Those are good-looking wheels. I was looking at them, too, saying, oh, I've seen them somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you never think about them, but they fit right on. They're 4x98, hub-centric, so it just fits on the hub, and you can let it go.
Yeah.
And then put the wheel bolts in.
Right.
They're a little bit thicker than the standard Fiat wheel, but they fill up the wheel wells.
I was going to say, it does leave it with a nice footprint, I think, you know, just from a distance, it looks a little more, I don't know, I want to say rugged, stable. The stance just seems different.
Yeah, I was going to put this on my other Fiat, and so I took the wheels off and put the ones that came with it back on, and my wife looked at it, and she said, you need to put the other wheels off. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It's all right, so.
Right. It's beautiful. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Oh, thanks for coming out here.
So, hi, this is Mickey, and I'm standing here with Brian Camera. Am I saying that correct?
Right, yeah.
Brian, please tell us about your car.
1964 Fiat 600. Actually, the car was brought over from Sicily. It was found in a garage in Sicily. I guess it had been set for about a year is what the man told me. And brought it over in 2002. And a buddy of mine bought it, and I've been trying to buy it from him, got it from him, and since then I've put the original steering wheel in, and we got some original wheels. It has some aftermarket wheels on it. It's actually got an 850 engine in it. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and so whoever the mechanic was that did it in Italy did a really good job. He really looked like he knew what he was doing, and it's just a beautiful car. Just love the thing. So.
It looks fantastic. So you brought it over, and it seems like you didn't have much restoration work to do on it at all.
Not very much, no, not very much at all. Just basically wheels and cleaning it up. And I mean, there's always stuff to do on a Fiat, you know.
Sure.
But yeah, but for the most part, it's got original 33,000 kilometers. Everything's in Italian on the dash. When my buddy first got the car, he calls me, says, man, you're not going to believe this. Come over. I went over there, and we argued for 30 minutes of what the set on those, the dash, because everything's in Italian, you know? Yeah, so, I mean, it was just such an interesting car.
So obviously not a daily driver.
No, sir. No, sir. Not a daily driver. You know, it's kind of a trailer queen. And I drive it around town. You know, the grandkids love it. You know, that sort of thing. So.
I was going to say, it does look like a lot of fun. I'm sure you turn a lot of heads when you got it out and about.
Everywhere we go. Yeah, just driving it out here. There was people taking videos and snapping pictures going down the interstate with the thing on the trailer. So, yeah, it's because it seems like it gets a lot of attention.
It's a very nice car. Thanks for sharing.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so what's your name, sir?
It's Rob Rice.
Rob, very cool. And what is this car of yours?
It's a 2017 Fiat 124 Abarth.
Ah, and this is kind of the new retro version of the Spider, right?
Correct, yeah. So it's got the double humps in the hood and kind of the look of the old Fiats, which we all love, I guess.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And if I understand correctly, these are based on Mazda, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of Mazda underneath. The bodywork is different. The engine's different. And then there's a few little package items.
Right. Sounds kind of like the best of both worlds.
It is. It starts every day.
That's a big plus. Is that a turbo I see on one side of the engine?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's a 1.4 liter, so it's a relatively small displacement engine. And then they bump it up pretty good with the turbo.
So the turbo is stock?
Yes. Okay. That one's not, though.
That one's not. I see. Okay.
So it's a whole lot of fun to drive, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. It can get away from you a little bit with some of the things that I've done.
Right.
But even stock, I mean, it'll make put a smile on your face.
Very cool. It looks like you have done a few things to it. Probably the most fun you've ever had, right?
Close.
Close enough.
Yeah. A lot of cars over the years.
Dad, aren't you a little big for a car seat?
Do you track the car? Do you take it out on a? Because I'm seeing a splitter, I'm seeing an extra lighting kit, I'm seeing a variety of other things.
Yeah, I actually haven't tracked it, uh-huh. Only just because I hadn't got to it. Mm. So I've been improving the car, things that I want, uh-huh. And making it more enjoyable for me, and we'll get it on the track.
Sure. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. So now I'm talking to Ray. Ray, what's your last name?
Ramirez.
Ray, tell me about your car.
It's fun to drive. It's a fun roadster, two-wheel, rear-wheel drive.
Yep.
Handles, turns like a beast.
You were saying that, I mean, we were talking a second ago with another gentleman about his car. It's based on a Mazda platform, but it makes a little more power, and you were going to tell me something about that?
Yeah, it makes more power, so much so that Mazda had to, through a tune, up their horsepower just to keep up. Because, like we were mentioning, price-wise, they're the same. Mm-hmm. Within a couple $100, there's no difference, so why wouldn't you get this?
Right, why wouldn't you get the Abarth?
Exactly.
So how long have you had this one?
First owner had it since 17, and that's when they first came out.
It's a beautiful car. It must be an absolute joy to drive.
Tons of fun. Yeah. Take it up to the Tail of the Dragon a lot.
Check magnet?
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. It's beautiful. Is there anything you want to share with our listening audience about this car in particular or about Fiats in general?
Test drive it. Yeah. I don't think you'll regret it.
Are you a fan of Fiats in particular or just Italian cars? Or
Italian in general. Mm-hmm. I'm eventually going to own a Ferrari, but for now, this'll do.
Right on. Well, we hope to be in touch with you when you get that Ferrari.
All right. No problem.
Thanks for sharing.
No problem.
Okay, who am I talking to?
You're talking to Chris Sheldon.
Chris, and you don't have a car here, right?
No, I don't. I'm just a casual observer today.
Well, I don't know if this will be the easiest question you've had to answer in a long time or the hardest question you've had to answer in a long time, but if you had to pick one of these to take home, what would it be?
Oh, I think probably the Lancia Fulvia. It's over there.
That, sure. That car is getting a lot of love.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful. It's interesting to see the French Quarter over there, too. There's some oddballs over there that are pretty cool. There's a 505 over there that I kind of have a soft spot for because my parents had a 505 turbo diesel manual when I was a kid.
Sweet.
High school. It was pretty cool. I was allowed to drive it like maybe three times the whole time they owned it, and a German Shepherd finally killed it. My mom
ran
over a big German Shepherd, and it totaled out the suspension and everything in the front. So that was the end of that little Frenchman.
I've never even been in a 505, but I've always liked them.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. Iconic car. There's a you know, the two CVs over there.
Yeah.
Full of eggs and groceries from the market is pretty cool, too.
Right.
And of course, some of the bikes here today are
pretty cool. Those Ducatis and things.
Yeah, there's a Moto Guzzi over there that's really cool. It's for sale, actually, so if you got some cash laying around, you might want to throw some cash at it and buy that.
Fun idea, but it doesn't have enough legroom for me.
It doesn't. They're pretty pinched.
Yeah, but they are cool bikes. I wish I was short enough to fit on one.
Awesome, yeah. There was a Senna version of that bike that was a really cool color back in the day that I always lusted after, but I heard they were kind of horribly handling pigs, so I don't think I would ever find myself on one. But
I like that vintage Benelli there, too.
Yeah, the Benelli's very cool. I was curious when we saw it. I was like, man, that looks like a CBX Honda motor. And so I quick looked it up, and it was actually based off of that, the 450 Honda motor, and they just tacked two extra cylinders on it. So
nice, yeah. Big old wide six hanging out of a bike frame, that always gets your attention.
Yeah, exactly. Big, you know, six schnauts poking out the back of it. It looks pretty evil.
Very cool.
All right, well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Hey, and what is your name, sir?
My name is Alan Boe, B-O-E is the last name.
And what kind of car is this you brought?
This is a 1962 Ferrari. The model is called a 250 GTE 2 Plus 2. It's the first four-passenger Ferrari ever built in more than a handful of examples. They built 955 of these cars between 1960 and 1963. And because they were able to sell so many of them, it produced a lot of revenue for the company, which kept the racing program afloat, and it allowed Ferrari to enlarge its production facilities into the 60s and 70s. This was a very important car to Ferrari for that reason, because it did sell so well.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, it does sound very important. It's very beautiful to look at. Is it as beautiful to drive as it looks?
Yeah, it's a car that you don't want to get stuck in a city traffic jam in. It's not good at 10, 15, 20 miles an hour, but on the open road at 75 or 80, it'll run all day, and it just floats down the highway. It was made for the autostradas and the autobahns of Europe, and it's right at home at 75, 80 miles an hour, so it's a great touring car.
Wonderful. Has it had any restoration, or is it original?
It's basically original. It was repainted. I had it repainted 20 years ago. I've owned it for 40 years. I had it repainted 20 years ago, but that's the original color. We went to great extent to match the original color. It's called Grigio Alba in Italian, which translates into Dawn Gray. They built 10 of these GTEs in Dawn Gray. This is one of 10. And the interior is all original, except the two front seats have been reupholstered and the carpeting has been replaced. Otherwise, the interior is all original, and all the mechanical pieces are original to the car.
Fabulous. And is that a 12 in it?
Yeah, it's a V12. It's the same basic motor that they use in all the great Ferrari race cars, the 250 Testarossas, the 250 GTOs, the 250 short wheelbase Californias and Berlinettas. Same basic engine, except in the racing version, they modified them, different carburation, different valve timing, different oil system. But it's the same basic motor in this car that was in all those fabulous, great Ferraris.
Wow. It's just unbelievably cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you stopped by and glad you liked the car.
Hey, what's your name, sir?
Steve Cripps.
Cool, Steve. And this is a very interesting car you've got. What is it?
It's a Citroen 2CV. It's modified. It's one of two made. Made into a station wagon. But they made the base car, or 7 million of them. But people can't believe it's a 1986 because it's so antiquated.
Right. They produced these for a long time. Into the 90s, wasn't it?
Until 1990 from 49.
Wow. And this one is very, very cool. Our listeners can't see it, but it's red and white, and it's got a mostly open roof.
Sardine can, if anybody knows what sardine cans are.
Right, right. It's probably as fun as it looks, right?
It was a lot of fun. As somebody from Hemmings Motor News interviewed me, I said, if I had a Ferrari, we wouldn't be talking.
Right, right.
It has adjustable headlights, it's an air-cooled, a Pose Hemi engine, like a half a Volkswagen, half a Porsche, and front-wheel drive. Unique suspension. The car rocks and bounces, but not when you're underway. And the seats come out. We use them as picnic chairs.
Yeah, it's just kind of the epitome of of Frenchness.
Yes. You shift in and out of the dashboard, not three or four on the floor, not on the column. It's in and out of the dashboard. But it's easy to figure out how to drive it after driving it for a few minutes.
Very cool. How long have you had it?
About five years.
Were you looking for one of these, or did it just catch you?
I had a similar one for 20 years, and I have other cars, and somebody thought of me when this woman was trying to sell it, and I didn't want the car because it's kind of weird, unusual, one of a kind, or two of a kind. But I ended up buying it, and it's been, of all the cars that I've had over 50 years, it's probably the most fun and attention-getting, and it's only $2,000.
What a bargain. Real bang for the buck.
She wanted $2,000. I offered her $1,999.
Wow.
I rounded off the check, though.
Well, very good. Thanks so much for talking with us.
You're quite welcome. Thanks.
It was a mutual friend of ours and his, well, if you won't have it, it was originally restored by the Grant brothers, Jim and Charlie Grant. It was bought in 81, and the paint was done in either 82 or 83, Jim can't remember. And it was Charlie Grant, it was his car, and he sold it to Albert Cohen, who owned one of the Alpha repair shops here in Atlanta in the late 80s, and the interior was put in the early 90s, and that's a 37-year-old paint job, and Albert was hit and paralyzed on his bicycle, and the car sat without being driven for 20 years, and I bought it 5 years ago this month, and sent it to his brother who had restored it for himself originally and drove it 4 years ago this month for the first time and drove it back from Charlie's shop in Hartwell, 90-something miles, first time. That's a little incorrect on the sign. I didn't drive it to the first. I drove it back from the first, from the restorer's shop to my home. And in the following June, I drove it to Highlands. I mean, that's a 61-year-old car that's a real solid driver. Not just look nice, but you can drive it, and not, you know, it's not an iffy car. It's a good solid driver.
I'll bet it looks like a lot of fun.
Well, it is. It's a 1.3 liter, 1290 cc's. That's about 78 cubic inches. It's got 80 horsepower, and it's very quick. You know, it's a 456 rear end, so it has nice acceleration. You know, and it's a Miata would blow it off the road, but it's still a very nice and very agile car, and to be a 60-year-old car, very innovative for its time.
Absolutely. I heard a saying somewhere, it's not how fast you go, it's how well you go fast.
Well, and also, these cars have what's called the Giulietta series. That's what's called that seat-of-the-pants feel. You feel like you're probably going faster in this at 80 or 90 than you would in one of those 4Cs at 120 or 30 because you're not so insulated. The real feeling of the road and the noise is there with a car like this.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, it's definitely a car one could fall in love with, I would say.
Well, there are, you know, I had Alphas for 40, since July of 77, so they are a responsibility as far as knowing and doing the proper, but if you know what to do, and if you do the proper maintenance, your due diligence, they are a very reliable, good driver.
Yeah.
Unlike their reputations, because back in the day, people didn't keep them up, and they weren't so good. The wiring is bad, but now they're mainly used as toys, not staying in the weather that much, so they're good drivers, especially for dry conditions.
I can relate. I've had a couple of Lotuses, and it's exactly the same story with them.
What Lotus?
I used to have an Esprit. Currently, I've got an Elan Plus 2.
Oh, nice cars. I've always thought if I didn't have Alphas, that Lotus, because it's the same philosophy, light, agile,
yeah,
good added lightness, as Colin Chapman would say, I believe.
Exactly. My dad had a pair of mid-70s Alphas, so I've been around those a little bit as well. I found them very fun. In fact, he did part of the process of teaching me to drive a clutch with a 76 Spider.
Well, I've had my first Alpha was a 76 Alfetta, which was the coupe.
Right.
So I've spent a lot of time, and I had that car for 29 years. And it may be here today. I think somebody said Tom was driving it. And if it's ivory-colored Alfetta coupe. But so I'm very familiar with 76 Alphas and had many. My kids have had Spiders, and my daughter had a 76 Spider, so I've spent some seat time in 76 Alphas.
Yeah, I think a Spider would probably be my next one if I ever have enough more room in the garage for it. So,
if you got a Spider and you want just a nice, comfortable car, the last series 91 through 94 would be like that white one over there. They're nice cars, and they've got a lot more creature comforts than this car has.
Sure, yeah.
So this car, you know, if you're in the rain with this car, you will get wet. It'll blow some around the door, the windows where they fit up in the top, and you won't have that problem with the later Spiders. So.
Right on. Well, thanks so much. I think we can use some of this.
All righty.
Okay, my name's John Montgomery.
John, you run this whole thing, don't
you?
Yeah,
I run this whole thing. Me and a lot of other people who really help us out. So I'd say I'm lead coordinator is about the best way to do it.
That's cool. Is it your brainchild? Did you?
No, not necessarily. I started out many, many years ago, about 22 years ago, with the Alfa Romeo Club. And a couple of the guys in the Alfa Romeo Club decided they wanted to do like a little show called Italian Car Day. The first show we did was back in Chateau Alain.
Oh, yeah.
So we did that way, way back in the 80s. And so the first year, we just did that for the first year. And then after that, we went to Lake Lanier Island. So we started going and renting the park because after September 15th, they closed the park. So we would rent one of the pavilions and have it there. We had it there for many years. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, we were attracted to go to a place called Kurt's Restaurant in Duluth, Georgia.
Yeah.
Right down off of, I think it's River Parkway, I think it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we went down there for about 4 or 5 years. But Kurt's decided to move to a new location. So we ended up going here to Norcross. So we've been here probably about, I think, 4 or 5 years now.
Okay.
So it's been a good relationship. And, they offer some really nice amenities, a pretty good, super central location. We got all the facilities that we need from power. You know, there's so many things when you do a show, you need the logistics. You need a place to park. You need the, everything from restrooms to eateries and all that. So all the merchants have been real good about having us come out here, enjoy the show. People take a little break and they go up and have lunch at any of the number of restaurants.
It's a beautiful day for it,
too. It's a beautiful day for it. So, yeah, so it's been a very good relationship. And this is a little bit different show than what you see. Mm-hmm. Some of the, some of the other bigger shows that basically have some pretty high entry costs. This is really more an owner show. We try to, if you're working on a car, we invite you. If you have a driver, we welcome you. Mm-hmm. If you have a pristine car, we've had Ferrari, F40s out here. We've had Enzos out here. We've had, you can see some of the cars that are here this year.
Million-dollar
cars, and we, basically it's just like the old days when guys were and girls are enthusiasts on mm-hmm. vehicles to come and bring their car, show it, have fun, talk to the other owners, talk to a few vendors, win a few prizes, get an award hopefully, and drive home happy. That's our recipe.
It's not a bad recipe. I've got several questions, actually.
Yes, sir.
First of all, what are the major challenges putting on a show like this?
The major challenges, this year we've really had a tough time with the weather. We got, we've had a lot of seasonal rain. It carried on through all the way through the fall. So we had this is the fourth time we've had to reschedule this show. It's a little tough to get the venue sometimes, and we wanted to try to go for the lawn, and that's why we've had to change it. Once this lawn gets saturated, it's a few days for it to dry out, that kind of thing. Yeah. Now, we probably later on this year we'll do a show. We don't have the exact date yet. It's probably late October.
Okay.
We may do it as a street show up on the top, like the British Car Day show, British Car Fair. I think that's the first weekend of September. So we're looking at probably toward the later weekends in October, probably the 26th possibly to maybe do it. And like I said, don't have it etched in stone yet. But if the weather's nice and if the field is dry, I think people prefer having cars on the lawn.
It's a nice touch.
There's nothing like cars on the lawn.
Yeah.
And we have some other facilities and we're sort of intrinsic to ourselves. You can walk around, owners can leave the keys in their cars, walk around, and enjoy it. Whereas in a public venue, it's a little bit tougher. Security is a little tougher, things like that. You know, it's, these cars are very valuable, so you just got to be super careful about that. So we try to respect everybody's vehicle.
So what's the most rewarding part about doing a show like this?
Breaking even. We don't do it. We really don't do it for the money. I mean, we have made enough money to sustain the show, buy a few shirts, hats, mm-hmm. and things like that. Enjoy the main satisfaction of it, I think, is people drive away happy. They enjoy it. I mean, you look at the crowd that we've had this year. We've had to reschedule this show 4 times.
Yeah,
how many people would hang in there with you and decide, hey, you know what, I'm going to try to come out anyway?
And you still have a fantastic turnout.
Right, we have a fantastic turnout. And, you know, sometimes we have a lot of first-timers, but we also have some, you know, people that have been here for almost all 22 years. So it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, I moved out of Atlanta. I'm actually in Greenville, South Carolina now. I've been there for about 10 years.
Okay.
But my kids are still here, and I still have, you know, family here and friends. And so, you know, it's not a big deal. I mean, it's only a couple hours on the road.
Exactly.
So,
not that bad at
all. Yeah, not too bad.
Do you have a favorite car that's out on the field right now?
The next one to come in. No. Yeah, right. So we can break even.
Right. Exactly.
No, actually, you know what? I think the thing is, when you see cars that are well preserved, that people have enjoyed bringing, and every year they get a little bit better. You know, a lot of these are, you know what, sometimes Italian car ownership is an emotional experience.
Oh, yeah.
It may not necessarily make sense financially. You know, you could put $10,000 in a $5,000 car, or, you know, $30,000 in a $20,000 car. Sometimes it's not really a good equation. But if you love it, if you love the machinery, and that's the thing. And for you know, for whatever it's worth, I mean, preserve these cars and encourage that Italian spirit. I think that one of the things you see the new cars from our new vendors, you know, we got the Ferrari of Atlanta, Maserati Atlanta, Jim Ellis Alfa Romeo here, you know, Lamborghini Atlanta. You come out and look at the new machinery, see what's going on. This is all Italian made, Italian designed. So you know what? Hey, you know, it may not be the most popular car out there, but it has that emotional appeal.
Sure.
And it has that verve and that, you know, thrill of driving that sometimes we miss, you know?
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think there's no shortage of passion for between people into what they're driving out there today.
Right. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that want, you know, they want autonomous cars. They want them to drive themselves. And there's a whole lot of stuff about it.
Right.
But you know what? On a back road with a good car, a good handling, you know, I don't think there's anything else like it. And that's the way that's what I'm about.
What's currently in your garage?
Okay, in my garage, I have 13 vehicles.
Wow,
yeah, I do.
13?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. No, I have I brought a few. I have a Lancia Scorpion that's here.
Okay.
That was I bought from the estate of a dear friend of mine who passed away. That's that blue one over there, 76. I only brought 1,800 into the country. I have a X19, a 1986. So that's 10 years younger. That's one of the best cars. Best X19s out in the southeast, at least. It's won several shows. I also have a Fiat 500 apart that's out there, and I work for a Fiat dealership, you know, out in South Carolina. But I have that one. I have one of the very first cars that Fiat brought to America in 2012, called a Prima Edition, and that's a first 500. They were numbered cars, so I have number 77 of 500.
Wow!
And so I've got that one, and you know, it's like brand new. I have two Ducatis, Ducato Passo 906 and a 750.
Okay.
I have a little Yamaha 250 that kind of, you know, the worst thing about my motorcycles is the rider. And so that's my training bike, you know.
Right.
And,
right.
So I got a lot of that. And I got a Mazda Miata that early NA edition. It was actually a trade at our dealership, and it was such a beautiful car.
Yeah.
And I just decided to go ahead and get it, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing about an old car is, you know, there's a little curve of depreciation. You buy a new car, you drive it off a lot, yeah, it goes down, it goes down, it goes down. But then it levels off, then it starts to come back.
Yeah.
And if you buy the right car, if you wait long enough, it'll pay you back.
Yeah.
That little Miata, you know what? There's a lot of them out there that are kind of, you know, way over 100, 200,000 miles, kind of beater cars. Okay, those are really going to always have the price point that they're at.
Mm-hmm.
But a really, really nice one, never really been restored, you know, that's the kind of car that people want.
Yeah.
And so if you get a top drawer car and buy the best you can afford, it'll pay you back.
So how do you get your hands on a car like that and not fall in love with it to the point where you can let it go?
That's the whole problem.
Yeah.
I just bought a Volkswagen Thing.
Ah.
One of my friends and customers, who's got some poor health, and he decided to sell it. And, you know, I don't know what the heck I'm going to do with it. It's a really cool car.
Yeah.
You know, and then again, that was a 2-year car that brought in. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It may not be for everybody.
No.
But it has that allure. It has that passion. Yeah. So, you know, that's the thing. So, but, and that's a good car to possibly sell. If you know,
sure.
It's going to be worth more tomorrow than it is today.
Yeah, no doubt.
So my
yeah.
rule is to never sell anything.
Right.
Buy more garage space. you know. That's the premium.
That's the way to go.
Yep.
Good, Ben.
I'd be in trouble if I had more garage space.
Yeah, there you go.
It totally,
that's
yeah.
right. And it's all in what you can afford. But, you know, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I like American cars, too. So I don't like, it's not like it's all Italian. You know, and, you know, we're a big AMC family. My dad had,
oh, wow.
That's all we ever bought.
No kidding.
Yeah, I have his last one. And my brother has a 72 Javelin. From you know, from the family that we bought new, mm-hmm. so you know that's a long time to own a car.
That is a long time.
When you think about it, it's longer than most marriages, most kids growing up, all this kind of stuff. So you know,
right.
it's like to own a car for 25, 30 years. That's a long time.
That's a long relationship.
Yeah. But I appreciate what you guys do to you know kind of keep the enthusiasm going and people enjoying their vehicle. You know, a lot of this is emotional.
It totally.
You gotta have a passion for what you're doing, and if you don't, you know, well. Go get the camera.
That's it. And right now, I'm really, really wishing I still that I had the Alfa Romeo my dad bought back in the 80s.
Yeah, there you go. And you know what? There's an upside too. These cars are being more and more valuable.
Yeah.
Is especially if you have a higher end or higher class vehicle in terms of its you know preservation.
Yep.
And you know, I mean, if you have a beater car, it's still a beater car.
Exactly.
But if you get a nice one, and you would think about it, if we. And a lot of these cars you could have bought 15, 20 years ago for, you know, 1/5 the price they are now.
Right.
So, you know, it's that's
just
the math
amazing.
Equation that makes sense.
Thanks for letting us come
All
by.
Right.
It's been
well,
a real
you,
fun
Mickey,
experience. How
you,
do folks find you for the show in the
okay,
fall?
Okay, ItalianCarDayAtlanta.com is our website, right? And, you know, I work for a place called Benson Fiat up in South Carolina.
Okay.
You know, you can find me on the internet and all that. But, of course, you know, down here, you know, we're really, I mean, we're a sponsor, but
yeah.
the other guys that sell the higher premium cars,
yep.
they're the fellas. And all of our sponsors and all the photos are listed on the website. You can look at this year's photos, this year's winners, and also previous years.
That's
and, you know, we actually hold the record for the most Di Tommaso cars. I think we had 52
awesome.
Di Tommaso cars back in 2003 or 2004.
That's amazing.
And so
wow.
it was a great show. But Di Tommaso's, there's not many around, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And they're a great group of guys, and we still have a few that come. So we appreciate everybody who shows up. So.
Very cool.
All right. Well, thank
thanks
you, gentlemen.
Very much.
All right. It was great to have you here this weekend.
We'll look forward to the next time.
All right, man. That wow. sounds great, and all the best to you.
You too. Thanks.
Okay. All righty.
All right. What is your name, sir?
My name's Ryan.
Ryan, and you have a very beautiful Ferrari here. Can you tell us about it?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's an 83 308 Quattrovalve, Grigio over Nero, so gray over black. Kind of rare for this year and this model, but car's kind of new to me. It's only been in my possession less than a year.
Oh, cool.
But it's the car that I lusted after when I was 9 years old and finally found the means to make it a reality.
Yeah, well, what struck me about it was the fact that it wasn't red. Mm-hmm. It's not even among the non-red colors, I think this is a little rare.
I agree.
And that's very eye-catching. I think it looks dynamite in this color.
Thank you.
For our listeners, this is kind of a dark metallic gray, and it's a Targa top. It's just... You just have to see it. We'll put a picture on the website with it. But so how long was the chase to get it?
Oh, let's say it's north of 35 years. But
okay.
You know, I was 9 years old when I first saw this car, and I had to have it. I'm 44 now, and I figured it was time.
And how much time did you spend doing the serious shopping and looking and?
Probably the last 15 years, I was looking for this car in this spec with this color and this condition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so. Wow.
And it finally popped up in my neighborhood in Atlanta.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's great when things work out
that,
isn't it?
Exactly.
And so it's as fun to drive as we all think, right?
It's fun. It's a go-kart. It's not it's not the fastest car out there, but it's certainly, you know, not the slowest. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun.
For what it does, it feels right, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool.
It was definitely a bucket list item, you know, one of those
awesome.
Things you just had to check off the list at some point.
Absolutely. Wow. And it's just, I just can't shut up about how beautiful it is.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Yeah. All right, we're rolling. And what is your name, sir?
Paul.
Paul, great. Well, then this is a really stunning looking car you've got. What is it?
Thank you. It's a 2017 Alfa Romeo Giulia Quadrifoglio with a Stage 1 tune by Euro Compulsion. So stock, it's 505 horsepower and 450 pound-feet of torque. And thanks to Euro Compulsion and all those guys, it's 595 brake horsepower and 535 pound-feet of torque now.
Good golly, that sounds like both a handful and a whole lot of fun.
It's the first car I've ever driven in 47 years that has a learning curve, so it's quick.
Please tell me you've had it out on the track.
I've had it on an eighth mile drag strip and hit 93 in an eighth mile, but other than that, I won't say how fast I've had it on the interstate.
No, of course not. We don't know anything.
And for the listeners, it's this really stunning metallic blue shade. I don't see a whole lot of these cars out on the road to begin with, but the ones I do see are never this color. It's gorgeous.
Thank you. It's the Monte Carlo blue is the Alfa Romeo term for it.
Yeah, and I see you've got a whole lot of graphics. You've got this 809 foundation on your door. What's that all about?
Well, the 809 foundation is in memory of fallen police officer Mike Doty, and Mike and his twin brother Chris are deputies at the Rock Hill, South Carolina Sheriff's Department. Mike Doty was killed in the line of duty January of 2018. And how we found out about that, I'm retired Air Force, and I flew in 2002 to 2005 in Germany with Mike and Chris's older brother Josh. And back in October, we did a Rally North America road rally, Blue Ridge Rally, for 5 days from Parkersburg, West Virginia to Helen, Georgia. And Rally North America is a fantastic company. They do rallies all across the country every year, and it's 100% of their profits goes to different foundations and organizations. So last year, their focus was COPS, Concerns of Police Survivors. And what COPS does is they help families of fallen police officers get through the after trauma. So at the end of the rally, I'm starting to choke up a little bit here. The last driver's meeting, I got an email through LinkedIn from Josh, and who I hadn't spoke to in about 12 years. I'd never met Chris or Mike. And Josh told us that he had seen our post on social media. We're on Instagram at WTFastAlpha. WTFast is our license plate. Josh had seen our post on Instagram and messaged us and told us that COPS was a fantastic organization, told us that his brother had been killed 9 months earlier, and COPS had really helped their family through the post-trauma. So Rock Hill, South Carolina is about an hour away from where we live, so we kind of switched focus from COPS after the rally, and for Euro Auto Festival in Greenville, South Carolina last year, we changed our focus to 809 Foundation. And just kind of go around and raise awareness for their organization. And there's a link on our Instagram page to the 809 Foundation where people can donate. So we don't accept money directly for them at all. We just put their name out there and, you know, do this kind of work and raise awareness for them.
Sounds like a very good thing to support.
We love helping them out. They're a fantastic group of people. We've gone up and met with them several times and done some fundraisers. We've been at Caffeine and Octane, featured down in here in Atlanta back in October. And like I said, at Euro Auto Festival, we went down to Amelia Island, Concours d'Elegance, 2 weeks ago. We were in Cars and Coffee down there and met some people from Alfa Romeo Owners Club, and they're going to do an article on us in the magazine, us being the car and how we use it to raise awareness for Back to Blue type organizations.
Very cool. So do you drive this around a lot?
We've put about 17,000 miles on it in a year, so we've kind of exercising some restraint now and leaving it in the garage as much as we can, hooked up to a battery tender, and so we've put probably about 1,500 miles on it, driving down to Amelia Island and then down to here for this. But we definitely drive it like it's meant to be driven, and this car is a blast. It's nothing. I've never driven anything else like it before, so it's great.
I can imagine. It just looks like way too much fun.
It is. And in all transparency here, it is my wife's car. She bought it. She's Irish or Italian born in Naples, Italy. She bought it on St. Paddy's Day last year, and I proposed to her a week later.
Wow.
Very cool.
I give her all the credit for it.
Awesome. Well, thank you
so
much.
Tell her we said thank you. Right. And congratulations. You got it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's it?
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.